Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC with a different kind of format for this summer Friday. We'll go fast with an hour of 10-minute topics right now. Then most of next hour, a very deep dive on affirmative action. And the last few minutes of the show, out of control. Stick around and find out how. Fast and deep and out of control on the Brian Lehrer Show today. 10-minute topic number one, extradition. The U.S. has been going back and forth with Russia and Hong Kong and other countries over extraditing Edward Snowden. But what does that really mean? Why do countries do it? Why do they not do it? Let's get a 10-minute take on extradition from Stephen Vladeck, professor of law and associate dean for scholarship at the American University College of Law. Dean Vladeck, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Is extradition a tenet of international law in any way, or is it only a matter of treaties between individual countries?
It's mostly the latter. I mean, extradition actually really means two different things. There are extraditions that are pursuant to treaties, which are bilateral agreements between, you know, the United States and another country for what to do when one of us has a prisoner that the other one wants. And then there's extradition where there's no treaty, which is a much more informal process where politics and diplomacy really have a lot more to say about what happens than anything that's in the law.
Does the U.S. have extradition treaties with most countries in the world?
It's about half, a little over half, depending on how you count. I mean, we have, you know, extradition treaties with a decent number of countries with whom we'd want them, but there are plenty of countries where, for various reasons, we don't. One important example in the Snowden case is we don't have an extradition treaty with Russia.
You were quoted in a Washington Post article saying the dirty little secret about extradition law is it's 90% politics and only 10% law. What kinds of politics usually come into play?
Well, I mean, I think as the Snowden case illustrates, it's, you know, politics of every shape and size. It's how important it is to one country to get the criminal suspect back. In Snowden's case, it's how important it is to the other country that he's providing information about U.S. surveillance of individuals and governments within that country. So, you know, the politics of it really cut both ways. How important is it for the country that wants the suspect to get him? How important is it for the country that has him, either to cooperate or, you know, as in the case of Hong Kong, to not cooperate? And that is, you know, first and foremost, a political calculus.
The same Washington Post article said that out of 130 extradition requests by the U.S. of Great Britain in the last decade, they've only agreed to extradite 77 of those people. That's the U.K., our closest ally. Why is that?
Yeah, it's a surprising number. I mean, I think part of why that's true, and we do have an extradition treaty with Britain, I think part of why that number is so low is because, you know, in order to have an extradition, a couple things have to be true. First, you have to have dual criminality, which means that the crime under which you're seeking extradition has to be a crime in both countries. But second, and this is where we often get hung up, most extradition treaties, including our treaty with Britain, has something called a political offense exception. And what that means is the country that has the suspect can refuse to extradite him if its judges determine that the offense for which he's being sought is a political offense. And, Brian, the rub here is that the treaty doesn't define what a political offense is. Instead, it's entirely up to the judges. In the British context, they often find that, in fact, the reason why we want someone is less because he's a criminal than because what he did was in some way political, and that's part of the mess here.
I'm surprised that that would even be in our extradition treaties, because the U.S. wouldn't want to admit that it has political prisoners.
Well, I think, you know, from the U.S.'s perspective, this is a common staple of most extradition treaties in the world, and so it would be stranger to not have this exception. And the flip side, Brian, I think, is that it's very important for us to be able to rely on that exception in cases where we're holding on to someone who we don't want to send to another country because we think that they'll be persecuted there. So, you know, I think there's always a double-edged sword when it comes to extradition law, and that's why it ends up being so political. You know, can we exert diplomatic pressure on the other country to try to get them to send us the people we want, or are they going to really sort of stick to their guns and say, no, we actually think you should not be able to have him? That's why this is such a politically fraught situation.
Putin said he's not handing over Snowden because Snowden committed no crime in Russia. But doesn't that miss the point of extradition, which is about people who committed crimes against the other country?
It does miss the point about extradition, but, you know, I think Putin can get away with that in the Russia context, again, because we have no treaty with them. And the whole point of having a treaty is to actually create some kind of underlying legal obligation on the part of the country that has the suspect. You know, without a treaty, there's no legal obligation. All we have is, you know, the power of our persuasiveness, the power of our purse, the power of our diplomatic efforts. And with regard to Russia lately, that power hasn't been what it used to be.
Is the U.S. ever reluctant to extradite accused criminals? You know, as Washington sits here frustrated over Snowden, are there important examples that go the other way?
You know, there are, but they tend to be in a different category of cases. I mean, the cases where the U.S. tends to be the most reluctant to extradite are cases where the criminal raises a credible fear that they are going to be tortured or otherwise mistreated or persecuted if they're sent back to their home country. So, you know, we have obligations under both international and domestic law to not extradite someone, even where there's a valid extradition request, even where there's a treaty, if that person has such a credible fear and or if they apply for and receive asylum. And so the cases where the U.S. tends to not send people back are those. Although I have to say, I mean, Brian, we are usually pretty cooperative when it comes to honoring other countries' extradition requests.
Is there any such thing as a state of the art of extradition law or current debates about how it should be applied as a matter of principle, either including or beyond Snowden?
You know, it's funny. I mean, every 4 or 5 years, we get another big case where extradition law gets back in the front pages and everyone realizes just what a minefield it is. I think there's no big, huge, you know, next generation question in extradition law because there's so little law in extradition law. You know, at the end of the day, what this is really about is, you know, the relations among countries and how we are able to, you know, use whatever leverage we have, whatever, you know, resources we have. To bring about what really is the best outcome for us and for the other countries we're dealing with. And I think that's why this really ends up never being about the law except as means to an end. And the end in this case is the politics of can we get Snowden back? Can we somehow convince Russia to cooperate? Is he going to end up somewhere where we don't have an extradition treaty and there's a government that's more willing to let him stay there long term? I think that's why this has been, you know, so complicated from the get-go.
With your expertise in the area, want to take a guess before you go about what's going to happen to Snowden?
Man, if I knew, I wouldn't be a law professor. You know, I think he's certainly not going to stay at Sheremetyevo Airport for the rest of his life. I mean, I think we could very well see a situation akin to what happened to Julian Assange. I mean, lest we forget, Julian Assange is still, you know, spending his days and nights in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. And I think, you know, before too long, Snowden could end up in a similar situation where he is passing his time, you know, in some embassy in some random country while he tries to sort of prolong the inevitable, which is that one day he will end up eventually in a U.S. court. It just might be years.
Stephen Vladeck, Professor of Law and Associate Dean for Scholarship at the American University College of Law. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Brian.
It's 10-Minute Takes on The Brian Lehrer Show this hour. That was topic number one, extradition. Stay tuned for 10-Minute Takes, topic number two.